Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more information about City Harvest, please visit chcus.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in CHCUS.
All right, you ready for the word? Praise the Lord.
My message for today is, I remember last time I was here, is a little over a year ago probably, I read from 1 Corinthians 12 about the body. That was not the only part of the message, but I want to actually, it's connected with that one. I had a certain message, but God started speaking. When I was preparing for City Harvest, I didn't just want to bring a message. I don't just want to bring a message that I've preached before, even though I've preached something similar to this. I started praying. Said, okay, what is the message that I need to bring? And the same verses came back. I'm like, well, I'm not going to preach the same message. I'm hardly ever going to preach the same message. So unless you tell me to. So this is the message that God gave me. Pastor started saying that we were talking about, that you taught about the changing of a mindset, right? And we need to change our mindset, not for just our personal lives, for health and for wealth, for prosperity, but we need to change our mindset towards church. Who we are as a church. And I know a lot of people, they start saying now, you know, we're not going to church. We are the church. Well, just slow down. We're both, okay? We're going to church and we are church, because you are not the church when you're home alone. You are not the church. You can think you are, but you're not. One single finger is not the church. A single finger, that's kind of what I spoke about last time, right? A hand that is separated from the body is still a hand, but it's not part of the body. It's a body part, but it's not part of the body. You understand? And there's many, many, many people in this region. They are home alone. They're not going to church. And they say, oh, yeah, but I'm part of the church. Not really. You know, that's like a piece of machinery. If I take a part out of my watch, out of the clockwork, right, then I can say it's a part of the watch. Well, yeah, it's a watch part, but it's not doing its job, is it? Yeah. Right? And that causes all kind of complications. I don't know what happens when I do that with my watch, but generally it would mean it's not going to work. And this is why I believe a lot of times the church is not working the way it's supposed to work, because you're supposed to be there. Yeah. You're supposed to, and not just show up on Sunday, I mean actually be part of the church. But we get so busy with our own personal lives, right? God is interested in you and in the part that you play in the church. As a church, we don't just come together for the fun of it, even though it's all right to have fun. We're not doing it for that. City Harvest Church has a mission. It has a purpose. It has goals. And City Harvest Church is all of you. It's not just one person. It's not just two people. It's not a group of people. It's not just the staff. It's not just a group of leaders. No, it is all of you. And you need to find your place in that body. Not just your place in this world. Oh, God, what do you have for me? What business do you have for me? What success do you have for me? What house do you have for me? What car do you have for me? No, it all starts with, what is my place in this family? What is my place in this body? Now, last time, I think the focus was more on, you're not really part because, you know, if you're separated, you're not really part. But my focus now is the church cannot function correctly without you. So the problem is not just that you have a problem. No, the church has a problem without you. Now, of course, the body will keep going. Right? Sometimes people ask you, if you have to choose anything, you know, your left hand or your right hand, which are you willing to cut off? None of them. Yeah, but if, no ifs, I don't want to make that choice either. Yeah. Right? It's like, don't ask me which, I don't, yeah. Can I live without? Well, probably, yeah, but I'm not going to try it out. Yeah. You know, oh yeah, which one of the fingers is least important? No, they're all important. Yeah. Right? I mean, I remember, I think I told you this last time too, I said, even eyebrows are important. I saw one person with eyebrows, I'm like, they look weird, they look funny. Right? So it just doesn't look right. So oftentimes the church doesn't look right because there's no eyebrows. Right? Or worse, there is no hand or there's no feet. And it's so extremely important that you learn how to function. Number one, that you need to function as part of the body, finding out which part you are, and then learning what to do. In the beginning, you don't know what to do as your part of the body. It's been a while since my kids were babies, but I still remember, you know, when they were just born and I would look at those fingers. And then after a while, they start being surprised with their own hand. Right? They go like, whoa. Hey? I mean, they don't say anything, but they see this. Like, they think it's, they don't even know it's part of them. So they still need to learn how to do this. I remember in years ago in Africa, I saw a baby elephant that was just, I don't know, just born, but I don't know how old the baby elephant was. It didn't really know what to do with the trunk yet. It didn't know what to do. You need to learn how to use that thing, because I sometimes see videos of older elephants. They know very well how to slap someone with that thing. Whack, right? Like, well, the baby elephant didn't know how to do that, but that older elephant, wank, okay? They know how to pick up their baby with that trunk. It's an amazing thing. Same thing in the body of Christ. How much time are we spending to learn not just how to be successful in life, but to be that part of the body which causes what I just spoke about the vision that I had, so that we will have revival in the church? Because God will not do it just through this couple or through the people that are on staff. God will do it through the body. Amen. So let's read a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 1. Is this my water? Or is it? Yeah. Thank you. I don't know why, but. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is amazing to me. He says that Jesus is the head of the church, but it very clearly says that we are his body. Yes? Okay, so we're not just individuals anymore, even though God loves you as an individual, as a person. He looks at us collectively. He looks at us as a body, how we function in this world. If it's just about you personally, you might as well just go to heaven. Right? But it's not about you personally. It's about what we can do for the kingdom. And we are used to seeing people as individuals doing something for the kingdom. But God never intended it to be that way. He intended for the body to bring in the harvest, for the body to disciple the next generation, right? To build the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Okay, so he first said Jesus is the head of the church. He says we are the body. Then it does say that we need to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Okay, wait. So you need to supply something. There's people that told me, no, don't tell me what I must do. I don't have to do anything. I said, well, if you don't want people to laugh at you, you need to put pants on in the morning. So you do have to do something. People, they don't like to be told what to do, but there's consequences if you don't do something. Right? So, same thing here. You need to supply something. And I think the problem that we have seen, not just here, but the problem that we have seen is there's many joints, not the Amsterdam kind of joints, but a lot of joints that are not supplying anything. Well, if a joint is not supplying anything, is it really functioning as a joint? So then you're completely useless. God loves you, but he doesn't just want you to love him. He doesn't want you to just believe in him. He needs you to follow him and imitate him. We are called to be imitators of Christ, right? Not just, it's nice that he loves us. That's great, right? It's nice that we believe in him. It's nice that we follow him, but we have to imitate him. It is time for the church to work together and for every joint to supply something to the body. Then it continues, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Aww. So you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do your share. So before you can do your share, you have to find out what that share is. That's probably what I saw. You saw some people you sent to the left, some other people you sent to the right. So there's a directing going on, right? We know someone who is an adult who has been doing that for a while. They can separate the hand from the foot. A baby can't separate the hand from the foot. When my babies were babies, they put their foot in their mouth. You're like, don't do that. I mean, I can't even do that, but... but even if I could, I wouldn't want to do that. Right? Why are you doing this? But they don't know. They don't know the hand from the foot. They don't probably don't even know it's their own. They just think it's some toy or something. It's like, oh, look at this. Right? So we need to do our share. And then it says it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what we add causes growth. So one of the main reasons why we don't see the growth that God has promised us for years is because not everybody is doing their part. Not every joint is supplying something. And that's why things don't work. Yes, I can function without my eyebrows. Yes, I can function without a hand. I can function without a foot, right? Even if there's many parts, okay, there's people in this world, they don't have certain body parts, but they can still function. I understand that, and God loves me, but I'm not functioning to my fullest capacity. And the time that we live in now, I believe that everything will come to its fullness, meaning everybody needs to do its part right now. It's not good enough just to be a Christian. It's not even just good enough to show up for church. No, we have to be a moving part of the body. Amen? Now, the verses that come after this, after Ephesians 5:16, talk about how we should relate to one another. It says, don't steal from each other, don't lie to each other. Right? So speaking about a holy life and a different life. I mean, that's kind of a given. Right? But it shows you that we should really work together. He says, don't lie to one another. Have integrity towards one another. Why? Because if you damage a relationship, you are damaging the body. And actually, you are damaging yourself. My body is in unison, right? So even though my left hand and my right hand are completely different, they work together. I was working out a couple of days ago, and my right arm is stronger than my left arm. So I was doing some curls, and my left hand was not cooperating anymore. So what does my right hand do? Because my right hand is very friendly, right? And I just just help a little bit. I said I don't want to stop because it needs to keep pushing, but it just needs a little bit of help. So they work together. They do different things. They even have different strengths, right? I can write with my right hand. I can't write with my left hand. I mean, I could try, but hardly anybody can read what I write with my right hand, so let alone with my left hand. But so there's different talents or gifts, whatever, even though they're both hands, they still need to work together. How are you working together? You can't work together if you're lying and gossiping about one another or stealing from one another. Stealing is not just taking someone's money, but for example, stealing someone's time, right? When you have an appointment at 8 and you show up at 9:30, okay, you just stole someone's hour and a half. I understand that not everything goes according to plan, but then make sure that you respect the other person, call them and say, it's not working out. Right? I had people in my life that would never show up on the time that I had. Never. It's like, okay, I don't know if I can have you as a friend. I like you, but you're going to have to let me know that you can't show up. Sometimes they wouldn't show up at all. And at the end of the day, they would say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, my car didn't work. So what, your phone didn't work either? Hey, you could do this. Now, you understand because I'm not talking about these natural things, but are we really focused on working together? Yes, God wants you to be successful, but that's like one of the lower concerns. He wants the body of Christ to make an impact in this world. Right? This church, your pastors are called to make an impact in this region, but they're not called to do that on their own. They are called to direct it. They are called to point in the right direction, but you are actually called to do it. If they are carrying a revival on the inside of them, you are actually the ones that are going to be carrying it out. That's what you've been wanting for years, what you've been desiring for years, but now you need to supply something and you need to share of what you have. Amen. Oh, wow, getting excited. Yeah. You know, God is so good. God is so good. He has so much more, yes, for you personally, but he is much more concerned about what you have to bring for the body. So let's read those verses again from Corinthians. I think last time I read it from the Message Bible. Just for the fun of it, you should do that when you're home. Just read 1 Corinthians 12 from the Message Bible. I'm not going to do that now because it's way too long. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm going to read this fast. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? That there should be no schism in the body. So I like this. So that there should be no division. And this is exactly what I see. I don't mean that a church splits. I think there's many divisions in many churches that have nothing to do with a church split, but because the body is not working together, or because we look at another part of the body and we want to be that part of the body. You are a right hand, but you want to be a left hand, right? You are an ear, but you want to be an eye. Something like this, but this is not what we should be focused on. So again, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now in these verses, you can clearly see that no one should feel excluded or not important in the church. As I said, how important could eyebrows be? Well, when you're sweating, then you find out how important eyebrows are. Yeah. Right? I don't know why ladies take them off and then paint them back on. I have no idea. I have no interest in ever doing that. I'm like, that doesn't look very effective to me. You take them off and you put them back on. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. If that rocks your boat, then go right ahead. But the funny thing is, nobody takes them off and just leaves it like that. Right? They do paint something on that they think looks nicer than the original. I'm okay with the original, but I understand that some people, they need to trim it a little bit because they just have one and the hairs go all that way, right? So I understand some maintenance is needed. I get that, but I've hardly ever seen people that find it okay to go through life without eyebrows. So it does matter how it all looks like. It matters because it does have a function, even if you think it is not that important. You are important, right? If one part of your body is hurting, your whole body is annoyed, right? So even if you, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is why God put the small toe, right? Right? But small, I don't know, it's always a small toe, right? It's like, you go somewhere, I walk in my house, I've been walking there for quite a while, I know where everything is, but still, that tiny little thing feels like it's always in the way. Of course, it's not my toe that's in the way, it's the furniture that's in the way, right? But when my toe gets hurt, I lift up my foot, I lift up my whole leg, and I go, ah! So my whole body is involved, right? So this is exactly what it is for the body of Christ. This is exactly what it is for City Harvest. We are not functioning well if one part does not supply or when one part is hurt. So we get all concerned with that one individual. Amen. You are expected to take part in building the kingdom no matter what your function in the body is. I'm not the one that determines what part of the body you are. Obviously, it's the head of the church, Jesus Christ, right? Sometimes we don't know everything yet. Now, body parts generally don't change, but I have seen changes in my life, in my function. So I don't exactly know how God does that, but you just need to do your part. You just need to do your part and stop whining, complaining about it, like, I don't like this, I don't like that. Okay, my eyebrow is never going to be my hand, and it never has that function. But again, I am glad that I have them. So let's just focus on building the kingdom and the life that you love I believe you can have here, but the life that you love, you're going to have when you're with him anyways. This is just a time, a short time that we have on earth, and we should focus on the work that we have to do, right? Yes, it's good if you enjoy your job, but the most important thing is that you have a job and you bring home whatever, the bacon or the bread, whatever you bring home. Some of you don't believe in bacon, so you bring home bread. You might not believe in bread. Okay, you bring back money, right? So you work, and even though you might not be enjoying your work, you're not going to quit your job because you don't like it. Same thing here on earth. It's not about you liking your function. It's not about liking your position. It's not about liking the work that you do. It's about building the kingdom. We like the kingdom. We like Jesus. Let's just focus on that. That is the most important thing. Right? The church is a family. The Bible calls us a household. The Bible calls us a spiritual house. He even calls us an army. We are an army of the Lord. Yeah. It sounds nice, but I wonder if we function that way. Yeah. Now, we used to make jokes about the Dutch army when there was still a draft, right? Because they would be stationed in Germany and their hair would be like down their shoulders and smoking marijuana as soldiers, right? So I don't know if we always have a right picture of an army. I think there's a lot of armies in the world. Maybe you've seen videos of some of those armies in the Middle East. And when they're marching, have you ever seen that? They're not marching in unison. It's like one leg goes here and the other goes, yeah. Have you ever seen that? It's so funny to see. It's like, okay, obviously they're not very disciplined. So to me, sometimes that's what the body of Christ looks like. We are called to be a mighty army walking together side by side. Somehow it's not working because we do our own thing. We all say, yeah, but God loves me and he speaks to me. You know, I know what to do. Well, I don't think you do. There is only one head of the body. Yeah. Are we functioning together? Yeah. Right? All these things, all these names, like a family, like an army, they all speak about a whole body working together. All of us, the Bible says, are priests. And the fire increases when a priest puts sacrifices on the altar. Amen. You are all priests. What are you putting on the altar? Are you putting worship on the altar? Are you putting prayer and intercession on the altar? Are you putting finances on the altar? Because all that will increase the fire. Fire is what we need for revival. Okay, we want fire on the outside, but there's not going to be fire on the outside if there's no fire on the inside. So what are you doing instead of saying, oh, but the church needs to provide fire? No, God provides fire when you put sacrifice on the altar. If we all come together and put those sacrifices on the altar, then the fire will be greater, right? Have you ever put too many candles on a cake? I mean, I have, so that's, you know, I have experience with that one. You think it's funny, but it's after a while, you're like, oh, this is not a good idea. You know, so with one candle, you have a little flame, but if you put the candles, a whole bunch of them, and a 50, and you put them on, they don't really burn individually anymore. It just becomes like, okay, it was a good idea in my mind, but this is not a good idea. But this is what shows you when we all are on fire and come together. It is much, much, much bigger. Instead of just one little lump of coal burning or glowing, when the whole thing comes together, there's so much more fire. And that is what is needed. We have individuals that are on fire, but is the church on fire? Now, don't get me wrong, because I'm not criticizing. I loved it this morning. I love being in this place, and you can feel something has really already happened here. But I do believe with the calling, the destiny on this church, there is so much more needed, sacrifice needed, and not just from a few individuals, but from the church. Amen. Okay, before you think I'm starting to make that up, 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, okay? So as priests, we need to offer up spiritual sacrifices. But what I like here, it says as living stones, you are built up as a spiritual house. So God acknowledges you as a living stone. You are a living stone, but you are not a spiritual house. You are a spiritual stone, but together we are a spiritual house. A few years ago, we built our own house, or we had someone build our house, right? So now I like the bricks that we picked for our house, and I still have a pallet full of those, you know, full of bricks. But I'm not really impressed with the bricks. I'm impressed with the house. Because what they did with those bricks that formed the whole house, right? So we are concerned about looking like a pretty brick, but who cares about a pretty brick? We want to be a successful brick. Well, to be honest, a brick can only be successful if it does its function. And in this, the function is to be part of a house. Now, we took 6 bricks. And for every individual in the house, we took a brick and we wrote whatever we wanted on it, and one family brick. So we wrote verses on it or whatever you want to put on it, and it's in the house, but I have no clue where it is because it's on the inside of the cement. Nobody could see it. Now, if you tell me now, where is that brick? It's not about that brick. It's about the house. You understand? This is why unity and love is so important. That's the cement that holds us together. The church needs for you not just to fulfill your task or your job on Sunday morning or every other day of the week, even though that is important. All the household chores, all the giftings that you have, those are all important. But God needs you for you. God needs you to be the brick in this spiritual house and not to be focused on you as an individual. You are part of a body. The focus is not on the part. The focus is on the body. Yeah. Amen? We are all called to build the church. And seeing things don't go well when certain parts of the body are not functioning. And that's what I am seeing. You see like a half-paralyzed body, and we're impressed with what's working. Okay, we could be impressed, but God can do so much more through City Harvest Church. Amen? Amen. You cannot do it without the rest of us. Yes. Yes. And we don't want to do it without you. Amen. We could function, but we could function better with you. Amen. We can function without you, but we function much better with you. Right. But you cannot do it without us. A hand by itself will do nothing, absolutely zero. You might be impressed with yourself because you're having an encounter with Jesus all by yourself in your room. That's great. That's wonderful. I'm very glad you're happy in life. But the kingdom of God is not being fulfilled. Yes. You know, it's like so many people are focused on developing their relationship with Jesus. That's good. But we need to look at it as part of the body and not just having a great experience with ourselves. Right? Again, because you get a much better experience if you just go to heaven. There's no demons in heaven. There's nothing to distract you. No TV in heaven, I assume. Right? No Spotify. No YouTube. You could just go and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. Yes, you could do that here, but we need to be focused on the job that God gave us to do. At the end of the gospel, Jesus didn't say, you know, and I want you to just enjoy life to the fullest. Here, I give you 5 steps to feel happy about yourself. He didn't say that at all. Actually, he said pretty much the opposite. He said, okay, things are not going to be that easy. People are going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. They're going to spit at you. They're going to beat you. They're going to throw you in prison. But all is good. That's my translation. He says, make sure that you preach the gospel wherever you go. And he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, that means that if those signs are not following you. Okay, I'll just leave that one right there. Now, this all was to prepare you for Acts chapter 4. That's what I really want to talk about. It's like, oh, you don't have much time left anymore, buddy. Acts chapter 4. Are you there? All right, so Acts chapter 4 is where Peter and John are preaching salvation and the resurrection from the dead through the name of Jesus Christ. Miracles are happening. And because of this, the leaders of the temple, they feel threatened, right? And then they threaten the apostles and say, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Then from verse 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. But instead of hiding and being afraid, Peter and John did something else. But this is what I do want to talk about, because they were already doing some things. They were already preaching, and they had some signs and wonders, right? People were getting saved, and there were miracles. But then they got threatened. Pressure was put on them. Now, it could be that we get threatened in the same way by being thrown in jail or beaten, but sometimes the pressure is something completely different. It's other things that distract us, and they want us to hide. They want us to, it could be criticism, but it could also be wealth or whatever you are looking for. Then verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own companions and report all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It's amazing, because the exact thing that got them into trouble, they asked more of it. They got into trouble because they were preaching boldly and signs and wonders were happening. When they were threatened, they didn't say, Lord, give us a safe place. You know, California is not so safe for born-again Christians and people that want to move. You know, can we move to Alabama or wherever? I don't know. Right? The Vatican. That's safe. Okay, Lord, just show a place where we can hide. No, that's not what they were asking for. But I think the most powerful thing here, the most powerful thing. I've read these verses. This is one of my favorite chapters. Yeah. I've read this so many times, and I never noticed this. It says they went to their companions. Another translation says they went to their own company. Do you have a company? Do you have companions that you can go to, that when you are in need, when you are under pressure, that you can say, let's pray together? None of them said, yeah, well, you were a little unwise by preaching on that square. You could have toned it down a little bit. You know, if this is not what they like, you need to obey the law. They put down the law. They're like, no, let's come. It says they came together to raise their voice, right? They prayed in a very different way than what the Western church is used to. You know, we bow our heads and we pray quietly. They did not bow their heads. They did not pray quietly. They prayed loudly. They lifted up their voice. Amen. And then after this, it says that there was unity and prosperity, which is interesting because they didn't pray for that at all. They didn't pray for unity and they didn't pray for prosperity. Now, that's what we often pray for. As individuals, we pray for prosperity. And as a church, we always pray for unity. At least we do, yeah. Right? Nothing wrong with it, but they didn't. And there was unity and there was prosperity. Verse 32. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands and houses sold them, brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Now, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, Apostle, why don't we do this? Pastor, why don't we go share what we have? I said, well, let's first do the first part. Let's first come together and pray. Let's first do signs, wonders, and miracles, and winning souls. Because this shows you how to get unity. It is actually very clear in this chapter. Yes, it's prayer and fasting, but we are praying for something specific. And it's not all magic, and it's not such a mystery. What were they praying for? For the name of Jesus to be preached. So they were praying for souls, and they were praying for miracles. They were praying for souls and the supernatural. And I said, what in the world? This is the DNA of the church that Jesus Christ is building. The church that is interested in winning souls and doing miracles. That's what City Harvest is all about. It's in the name. Right? It's not City Gathering. It's City Harvest. So what is the most important? The harvest. Without a harvest, you are missing the purpose. So that's not just the pastor's job. No, that is your job. So as a functioning part of the body, you need to be concerned. Lord, how can I be part of that vision? How can I be part of the vision of winning souls and doing miracles? Winning souls and living in the supernatural. How do I do that? How do I win souls? How do I walk in the supernatural? All the other things you don't need to be so concerned about. Those things will come when you do this. You say, yeah, but I need to pay my bills. They also needed to pay bills. But their prayer was not, Lord, pay our bills. Obviously, there were people that had need. Because in the same chapter, it said that now, as a result of that, there was no more need. So there was need.
Yeah, come on.
There was no need to begin with. They didn't have to write these verses. There was a great need, but that need was fulfilled because of revival. I think it's amazing. I think this is just an extra. You don't have to pay for this one. is in chapter 5. In chapter 5, you see, now people, they always say, yeah, but God doesn't judge. This is a time of love and grace. And I said, the problem is that after Acts chapter 4, you have Acts chapter 5. And Acts chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira, which were part of the church. And they died because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Where are you with your doctrine on judgment now? Because they died. Now, I'm not wishing for anyone to die. I'm not prophesying that at all to you. But it does show me God is very serious about his church. I think it's a very good thing that those things don't really happen so much now, because we would be in a world of trouble. In Ephesians 4, when I said how we need to cooperate with one another, is no more stealing and no more lying. So obviously God took that very, very, very seriously. And I do believe that we're getting to a time where it will be that strong, where we don't mess around because the presence of God is so strong. I love God's mercy and I love God's grace, because without it, I wouldn't be here. I love God's faithfulness, that even though when I'm faithless, he remains faithful. I am so, so, so very thankful. I'm glad for all the times that God has forgiven me and has had grace on me. But I do want to see an increase of God's glory. I do want to see an increase of God's manifested presence. Amen? All right, so the apostles, they already had some level of preaching. They already had a level of witnessing and miracles, but then the pressure came upon them. And it's the same with the church today. A lot of times we see that pressure comes upon the church, or pressure comes upon an individual. And most of the time it is to distract us from the mission. For them, it was the same thing, as to distract you from the mission. And that is why it is important to have a companion. Right, have a companionship of people. Have a company of people that you can go to. Do you have a company of people that you can go to? Do you have a company? Now, obviously, that should be the church.
Yes.
But do you have a company of people that you're like, when you're in trouble, you can actually go and pray? And they don't just pray for your need. No, they pray what is exactly necessary. Because the apostles didn't pray, oh, Lord, please keep us safe. You know, let the hearts of those who persecute us just be changed. That's kind of how we pray. Oh, Lord, change the heart of the governor, you know, so he won't be against us anymore. They didn't pray like that at all. They said, no, what got us into trouble, we want more of it. They saw it as a badge of honor that they got into trouble. And they said, we must be doing something, right? Because the world is getting irritated with us. Now, the world is also irritated with us, but for the wrong reason. Because it should be about souls, and it should be about the supernatural. If the world gets upset with us for those two reasons, you are doing well. If it's other reasons, you might not be doing very well. You might actually be doing something wrong. So this is what we need to focus on. It says that they prayed in one accord. So they didn't pray other things. They didn't pray for their needs. They didn't come together and intercede for, you know, Susie who was sick. Or I'm not against all that, but that's not what the focus of the prayer was. The focus of the prayer was for revival. The focus of the prayer was for souls to be won and for miracles to be done in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So I said, okay, let's become more simple in life. Let's just focus on that for a while. Let's just fast and pray for this. When I started praying and fasting, I saw the results immediately. When I focused the prayers on that. Now, we haven't seen the end result, but I see that God is so interested in his church moving in this way. This is what I believe God has for you. The problem is with pressure is that pressure causes us to shrink back, right? It's to, oh, am I doing the right thing? Oh, I didn't expect this kind of opposition. Sometimes you get insecure about yourself. It's not because you're not willing to obey God, but you're like, oh, God, is this really you? Because I think if it's you, it should be easy. That's not what the apostles said either. Not at all. They didn't shrink back because there was opposition. They didn't say, oh, Lord, are we doing the right thing? Did I make a wrong move somewhere? You know, did I say the wrong thing? Am I not walking in love? I mean, walking in love would mean that they would do what those people wanted. No, they said, let's get more in trouble. Let's do this more. Let's give us more power in preaching. Let's give us more power in signs and wonders. So this is the word that I believe that God gave. After all, what I said in the beginning is do not shrink back. Yeah. Don't step back from the calling that is upon your life and upon this church. Don't doubt the DNA that God has placed on the inside of you. You are called to this region. You are called to bring change. And just because you haven't seen it overnight doesn't mean that something dramatically is not going to happen. Because I promise it will. Something dramatic is going to happen. Something phenomenal is going to happen. I can feel it in the air. And that is what I believe God is saying. Amen. We need to have the same principle as the apostles had here. If there's pressure, then let's go to our company of people.
Very good.
Let's each person learn how to reach other people. I've had several evangelists come to our church because I'm not really an evangelist, even though I love souls and I love winning souls. I just wanted an evangelist to teach us how to lead your neighbor to the Lord. Just very simple, how to lead your neighbor to the Lord. The problem with an evangelist pretty much does whatever they want to at that moment. So I gave him instructions, but evangelists are not good at following instructions at all. They're like that rebellious piece of the body. They win souls, but Lord have mercy. I'm like, no, I want you to teach them how to win my neighbor to the Lord. So they talk about everything and nothing, and like at the end, okay. This was a great service, but this is not what I was looking for because people don't know how to talk to someone. Yeah. Because the whole time, I know that you want to. You're like, man, I really want to talk to my neighbor, but how do I want to? You know? So it is important that you actually take the time to think about this and to study this and just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's not about our works. It's not even that you say the right thing. It's not even about having the right doctrine. Yes, it's important that you have the right doctrine. But with evangelism, look, evangelists have a lot of success and they're horrible in doctrine. If you listen to them, if you hear them teach, you're like, where did you get this from? Right? That's why you need apostles to set them straight. You're like, no, that's not what we're believing at all. We don't believe in this. We don't believe that this is important and the other thing is important. But what is important is that you love people. That is how you win souls. Just love people. Be concerned about them. When you see your neighbor, you should wonder right away, I wonder if he's going to go to heaven. I wonder if he's on his way to heaven. And if he thinks he is, I want to make sure that he is. Right? You don't have to know much, but you do have to love people. Yeah. And I wonder if that, in the church at large, you know, if that's really the case. Because it seems like that we love ourselves a lot. We even preach that before you love someone else. You know, you have to love yourself. I don't know. That's not in the Bible, so I don't know where we get that from. You know, that you have to love yourself to love someone else. It sounds like a great self-help book, but there's no verse in the Bible that says so. The Bible teaches us that we already love ourselves. You don't really have to, you know, you might not accept yourself. You might not like yourself, but you do love yourself. That's why you're thinking about yourself so much. Okay, I don't want to go there. I want to stay nice. No, because the thing is, there are a lot of good places in the world. But I must say, most of the churches that I visited in the last several months, I don't feel what I feel here. I don't feel what I feel here. And do you realize where you are and what you have? Do you believe what God has spoken through many other people and through your pastors in the past about what is about to happen? No, I believe you're on the, how do you say it, on the cusp of a revival, right? I can feel it. You can feel it in the air. You're like, what in the world is going on? It's like electric, but that power is there, but it's waiting for people to get connected. It's waiting for the joints to fit together. It's like Ezekiel, right? Where all the bones need to get fitted together. Otherwise, you just have a valley of dry bones. It's nice. There's bones. But that's it, right? And even at the end, when all the bones were together and all the sinews and all the joints were together, all the flesh came on top, still the breath of God needed to be breathed into them, right? The whole body needs to work together. You need to get together with the plan that God has for this church. I believe that praying and fasting, so this is what I said in the beginning. It felt like, okay, I didn't know. I wanted to ask you yesterday. I assume you have a prayer meeting, right? But I didn't know. I mean, I assume, but, you know, I didn't know. But I could feel it this morning right away. Praying and fasting will get things done that other things will never, it will And sometimes you think, is this doing anything? It is doing so much. Praying and fasting is like a battering ram. You know what a battering ram is? When you, in the old days, you have those big castle walls, and they would ram the battering ram either on the door or on the walls. And in the beginning, you wouldn't see a change. You're like, oh, this thing is not going to budge. But if you just keep at it, if you just keep at it, just keep ramming that, just keep battering it, just ramming that wall, and the wall will start breaking up on the inside. Yes, it's tiring. Yes, there's effort in it, but that's what needs to happen. The strongholds in Orange County need to be broken down. And that will not be done by our personalities, won't even be done by our giftings. It will be done through prayer and through fasting. And that's what we need to do as a company of people. So we're doing it in unison. Amen? What else has God spoken to this church and to you personally? I'm not planning to really go there, but in Habakkuk chapter 2, it speaks about the vision. Right? It speaks about, I will set myself upon the wall to see what the Lord will say unto me when I am reproved or corrected. Right? So a lot of times we have an idea about our lives. We have an idea about what God called us to do. But this was not a vision. This was not a word that God had for one individual. This is a word that he had for the body, for the nation. Right? He said, when you get the vision, write it down. Right? Now, I always spoke this message as a positive. In the next hour or so, I'll teach this from a little bit different perspective, because you need to read it in context. Before Habakkuk chapter 2, there is Habakkuk chapter 1. But we don't read chapter 1. We read chapter 2 because it talks about vision. Yeah. You know, how do I get the vision? Well, set yourself on the wall. You know, start praying and start asking God. And God says, you know, I will give you the vision. Just write it down and then run with it. Yeah. The only problem is, this was a really bad vision. And God said, guess what? There are some horrible things that are going to happen. Now, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher at all. I do believe that things are going to get much harder in the world. That doesn't mean that it's going to be harder for us. As long as we are in the glory, I believe we're okay. Amen? Amen? I believe we're okay. That's our safety. That is our ark. I don't worry about that at all. What I do worry about is us not pursuing the vision that God has for this body, for your life, and for City Harvest Church. Amen? All right. Let's all close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. One of the things that God did speak to me, I don't really want to pray for people for this, but he did say this, so I do want to mention it, that there are people here that have a large debt. And I believe that God is going to move in you. And not, okay, for some it will be a debt cancellation. But let's just call it a debt solution. Because some, it's not that the bank is going to call you don't have to pay anymore. But all of a sudden, a large sum of money is going to come in to settle that debt. right? I believe for that. So I don't necessarily want to pray for that, but I do believe I need to speak those words, that if that's for you, that you grab it and you say, Lord, I thank you for speaking to me today. So Lord, we thank you for any cancellation of debt solution for debts, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. Lord, we do not serve the God of money. You are our source. Lord, you are our provider. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. We call every debt solved and canceled in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for great income, for a great solution, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, also pray, Father, for this vision that we have. I thank you, Father, for the word that you spoke today, but also the words that you've given to Pastor Derek, Pastor Susan, Lord, to their staff, Father, to their leaders. I thank you, Father, that none of those words today and all the words in the past that you've spoken to them, Lord, when they were in their closet praying and interceding, Lord, I thank you that every single one of their visions, Lord, that you spoke to them is going to be fulfilled. I thank you that they are carriers of a revival, carriers, Lord, of a revival in this region. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they are your ministers of fire, Lord, in Jesus' name. They will set this region ablaze. I thank you, Lord, that everything that you have spoken to them, that you've spoken to me, people that ministers in this church, over this church, will come to pass. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that the vision will not tarry. I thank you, Father, it will not tarry, but it will be done as a quick, smooth work, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, even the things that they saw, Father, when they were still very young in the Lord, Father, when they weren't even together yet, those dreams, Father, the desires that they had, they will see it come to pass. Father, I thank you that you will surround them with the right people. Father, we thank you for revival in this church, for revival in this region, not revival just being excited, Lord. But we thank you that you fill this place, that you fill the places that come after this, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the raising of a new generation, the thousands of young people, we call them in. Father, these crazy, radical people, we call them in Jesus' name. We call them in Jesus' name. Father, what Derek and Susan have seen, Pastor Derek and Pastor Susan have seen, Father, in the name of Jesus around the world, Father, that's what they will see here in Orange County. Father, that is what they will see. Father, the digging up of the wells, Father, the things that have been left behind in this place that they have already picked up years ago, it will start manifesting, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless your church. We thank you, Lord, for revival in this place, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for any disturbance, any hindrance, Father, from outside forces. We break its power in Jesus' name. There's nothing, Lord, that will hinder this move in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, Father.